Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Locked On Seahawks. It's the Locked On Seahawks, Locked On 49ers crossover episode. It's Crossover Wednesday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm joined again by Brian Peacock. This is, you know, it's kind of frequent what's happening. It feels like we were just talking a couple days ago, but the Seahawks do play the 49ers again. It's in Santa Clara. It's another 1 p.m. game. And last one was, frankly, a blowout for the Seahawks, although Nick Mullins did manage to pass for what must have been 9,000 yards in that game. But it was, you know, I'm really looking forward to this game, seeing if the Seahawks can keep it going. But first, I want to, you know, ask Brian, how are you? And thanks for getting together again with me to talk about basically the same game.
Yeah, it's a very quick turnaround here. It feels odd, especially doing these crossover episodes, and we're back again. And I actually have a lot of questions for you about what went down on Monday Night Football at the Seahawks. And recording this early in the week, it's always weird. I know when the 49ers were on Monday Night Football, it was weird to do a Wednesday crossover because it was so soon after the game. And so I'm sure it's still fresh with you. So we can talk a little bit of that because I'm sure your listeners want to hear that. And I missed some of that game because I was doing some, I was taking photos with my baby. So I want to hear a little bit about that. But yeah, things are actually a little bit more rosy than we talked last time in 49er land coming off of victory here. So it's always good to talk to you. So hey, we can do it every week for all I care.
Yeah, right. We'll have to make this like a weekly occurrence or bi-weekly when the off season comes around. We'll do an NFC West kind of show. But now you did mention that the 49ers are coming off a win, which is pretty unfamiliar this year, even going back to last year before Jimmy Garoppolo got in. And the 49ers actually managed to beat a Broncos team that the Seahawks couldn't beat in week one, although it's a very different team from that point in time. But who should Seahawks fans be looking at that had a big game against the Denver Broncos on Sunday?
Yeah, well, number one is, and it was an all-timer for George Kittle, 210 receiving yards on seven catches. And what's crazy is he got all that in the first half, was completely shut out in the second half, 4 yards away from Shannon Sharpe's all-time record for tight end yardage in a game. And you had 210 in the first half. You know, credit to the Broncos for, I don't know what happened. I said on my podcast afterwards that I'm sure multiple tables were flipped over in the locker room, you know, because I don't know what happened, but the Broncos looked like a different team in the second half, and the 49ers weren't able to score, but the defense was able to hold on and save that victory 2014 against the Broncos. But really, it was all that first half, George Kittle, and, you know, this is the big breakout for George Kittle anyways, but now he's got the franchise record for yardage in a season for a tight end. He broke Vernon Davis' record from 2009. First ever 49ers tight end for 1,000 yards in a season. He's already up over 1,100 yards now after that performance last week. So George Kittle, now it's just, is he in a conversation with, you know, Zach Ertz and Jason Kelsey? And, you know, Gronk is, or Travis Kelsey, Gronk is not the Gronk of old anymore, but George Kittle has to be in that conversation, and he's actually a really good blocker, probably, I mean, much better blocker than Ertz, and probably a better blocker than a lot of those guys now, too.
Yeah, no, and my fantasy team definitely thanks George Kittle for how productive he's been this year. I'm not going to, you know, attribute all of this because it's team effort, but, you know, due to George Kittle's play, I am playing for the championship this year, so thank you, George Kittle. I believed in you as soon as I picked you up on my team. But no, mm-hmm. I think you hit it. He can really do it all as a tight end. If I'm not mistaken, you know, he was a little bit more adept at blocking coming out of Iowa, but he's really, you know, just been a complete tight end for the 49ers and has been not only, you know, a good weapon for a team that's middling, but just a really good weapon overall. And so, you know, that's
absolutely. Yeah, yeah, that you mentioned the Iowa stuff.
Oh, go ahead.
Yes, so you mentioned the Iowa stuff, and it's crazy because, yeah, that Iowa offense is like, and George Kittle said, is like, if you can't block, you can't play tight end in Iowa. So it's not a high-powered offense, especially as college offenses goes. And it's funny because the 2017 draft class was really deep with a lot of really good tight ends, but George Kittle's numbers were pretty close. I mean, they were in the same neighborhood as O.J. Howard and went in the first round. And O.J. Howard wasn't super heavily targeted at Alabama either, but you could see the athleticism. You could see the ability on tape. He just didn't get the ball thrown his way all that much in that Iowa offense. And you knew he was a good blocker. But what's crazy about that is the 49ers, knowing that Iowa doesn't throw the ball very much, the 49ers actually 2 rounds before Kittle drafted the Iowa quarterback, C.J. Beathard, which, looking back, if you just flip-flop those guys, it would make a lot more sense because of how they've played so far in their NFL careers. But George Kittle really had no business falling to the 5th round. I think it was a lot of it was just because of his offense at Iowa and the fact that it was a really deep tight end class.
Yeah, and I mean, we mentioned tight ends, and obviously, this past year the Seahawks drafted Will Dissly, and in no way am I putting him in the same league as George Kittle, but he had the reputation pretty much as solely a blocker. People did try to let on that his receiving skills were coming on towards the end of his college career, but really when he came into Seattle in the preseason and the regular season. That's when they really unleashed Will Dissly, and he exploded. He was by far the Seahawks' most productive weapon in the passing game before he went down with a season-ending injury. I believe it was a patella tendon injury. And so, I think the tight ends, sometimes are unknown commodities, and you don't really know what you're going to get until they get in that pro offense. And so, yeah, George Kittle, I think, is by far the name that Seahawks fans have to look out for. On Sunday when the Seahawks take the field against the 49ers.
Yeah, I remember speaking of fantasy football, I remember the frenzy for everyone going to the waiver wire for Will Dissly when he had that first breakout week for the first Seattle. People were like, that was the talk. It was like, I thought he was a block first tight end. It's like, well, okay. Let's sign this guy. But yeah, unfortunate injury for him. One thing real quick I want to talk about before we take our first break is so that Monday Night Football game with the Seahawks and Vikings, you have 70 passing yards, which I believe was a career low for Russell Wilson, but they just went crazy on the ground again. And when the 49ers played the Seahawks the first time, the Niners have been pretty good against the run all year, and the Seahawks were able to run the ball against the 49ers. They've been able to run the ball against everybody. So my question to you is, how terrible of an offensive line coach is Tom Cable?
Well, I think it's safe to say it's at least bottom five. Tom Cable, yeah, I think benefits so much from the reputation he has again within the league compared to actual results and what people outside of the league think of him. I really don't know why he's so well regarded when it comes to getting these coaching positions, but trust me, when the Seahawks fired him, you could have put anybody else in there, and it would have probably been an upgrade. But Mike Solari has been a godsend for the Seahawks offensive line, getting guys to just buy in, play well, just totally making the scheme as scheme, sorry, as simplistic as possible. And just letting the guys be tough, nasty up front. Guys like DJ Fluker prospering, although he's hurt, but Jordan Simmons filling in for him at right guard, playing extremely well in the 2 games that he's played. The Seahawks have their highest rushing totals of the year, over 200 yards in both performances. And so, yeah, I think you're going to see more of the same in that 49ers-Seahawks game coming up. The Vikings, I think, were a top 10 run defense, and the Seahawks just got really whatever they wanted. At least, they averaged, I believe it was 5 yards a carry, but they just really got whatever they wanted. They were just so physical. Chris Carson running through tackles, dragging guys for 2, 3 extra yards. Rashad Penny looking good with burst, but it all starts up front at the offensive line with Mike Solari and with these big guys up front.
And what's crazy about Tom Cable is, and now he's the offensive line coach of the Oakland Raiders, and we all know how that's going for Oakland. But when the 49ers, before they hired Kyle Shanahan, Tom Cable was one of the names that was being floated around as a possible head coach candidate. I don't think they went as far as to interview with him, but it sounded like they were semi-serious about talking with Tom Cable. And when I heard that, my head was going to explode. I was like, what is, like, some of these coaches in the retreads, I'm thinking, like, how the heck is Tom Cable's name being associated with head coaching job at the point when he just got fired as an offensive lineman, which.
Look, man, he must have so much blackmail on NFL GMs and executives because I don't think there's anything on or off the field that he's done to deserve another job, let alone a head coaching position.
Yeah, good point. Off the field, there was he punched one of his players or another coach or something like that at one point. I don't remember what that story was.
Yeah, and he had a domestic violence issue, if I'm not mistaken. And so there's just a lot of bad that comes with Tom Cable, within the organization, outside the organization. He is literally the worst thing you can do as a football team.
All right, we're gonna get into some more of this matchup with the 49ers and Seahawks for Week 15, but I gotta let everybody know about DraftKings. Bragging rights and huge cash prizes are up for grabs this weekend and all season long at DraftKings, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. How huge? We're talking over $1.5 million in total prizes. With one-week fantasy at DraftKings, you choose when to play. Draft a new team every week with no season-long commitment. And I know some people out there, not me in the Locked On 49ers fantasy league, I've got a bye, but people like my Tuesday guest, Nick Winkler, are out of it, so they might want to dip into this DraftKings action. And DraftKings, you are the GM. Just choose your players, stay under the salary cap, and that's how your team stacks up against the competition. No matter what your skill level is, there's a contest waiting for you at DraftKings. So if you've been thinking about trying one-week fantasy football, now is the time to play. And as is usually the case here on the Locked On Podcast Network, our sponsors have a special offer for you. You can play free with your first deposit to compete for your share of over $1.5 million in total prizes. Go to DraftKings.com or download the app today. Use code LOCKEDON. That's one word, locked on, to enter a contest for free this weekend with your first deposit and compete for your share of that $1.5 million in prizes. That's code locked on only at DraftKings. The game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
And we are back with the next portion of today's Locked On Crossover Wednesday. It's Locked On Seahawks, Locked On 49ers. And we're going to get a little bit more into this matchup. And I wanted to shift the ball over. And we talked a little bit about this 49ers run defense. But I want to know, coming off a game where Russell Wilson had his, like you said, career low in passing yards. Russell Wilson isn't getting that many attempts. He's had 37 attempts over the last 2 weeks. And I'm wondering, if the Seahawks decide to open up a little bit more in the passing game, are they going to target Richard Sherman a little more, and what results are going to be yielded in Santa Clara? Because it's a little different playing there compared to CenturyLink Field.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons, if you're looking for a reason why the Niners could have a different outcome, I think feelings are good there. I think momentum is high for the 49ers coming off that win against the Broncos, and obviously playing in Santa Clara at Levi's Stadium rather than CenturyLink Field is huge for the 49ers in this one. But as far as targeting Richard Sherman, I think it's something that teams can do, but they haven't tried really very much because they've had so much success on the other side. But the last couple of weeks have been definitely the two best games from Akella Witherspoon this season on the other side. I don't think he allowed any receptions. And even against the Seahawks, he played okay. A lot of the passes that were completed by the Seahawks were matchups against linebackers. Malcolm Smith got torched a couple times, getting one-on-one with Tyler Lockett, which is obviously a bad matchup. So I think just scheme-wise, I think the Seahawks put together a lot better plan than the 49ers did a couple weeks ago. And so I think 49ers can possibly learn from that. And on that same note, actually, is that so Kyle Shanahan, when he first got hired with the 49ers, the reason he brought in Robert Saleh is because he liked the scheme. And I didn't really think about this or put it together until that last game. And when things looked so difficult for the 49ers, I was like, okay, that's why Kyle Shanahan wanted this scheme for his own defense, because it gives him so much trouble as an offensive coordinator. So I think actually going up against Seattle is a bad matchup for the 49ers, because I think the way the Seahawks can play their scheme, and especially having a guy like Bobby Wagner that can do a lot to help erase someone like George Kittle, but also be good against the run, the 49ers like to throw out of that base package, and they want to use their tight end in the passing game, and they want to use the fullback in the passing game. So I think that's a lot of what Kyle Shanahan likes to do, is to be able to roll up in his base package, and you don't know if they're going to throw the ball or run the ball, and it will be equally difficult to defend. And I think the Seahawks are equipped, especially this scheme is equipped to face that. So that's going to be interesting this week to see what sort of adjustments they make and see if maybe Robert Saleh learned a little bit from watching Ken Norton and that Seahawks defense, and maybe he took a little bit of that because I think the 49ers defense looks so much better against the Broncos this week.
Yeah, and you mentioned a guy, and I'm a big fan of him. His name's Bobby Wagner. Most of our
Oh,
listeners are
gosh.
going to be familiar with him, but I'm running out of superlatives with Bobby Wagner. His play just seemingly improves every week. His impact is noticeable on the first watch through of the game. And I even went as far to say on Twitter, and this is a hill that I'm going to die on, and I know. The amount of talent that is on the defensive side of the ball in the NFL, but I'll go as far to say that Bobby Wagner is the best defensive player in football. Now everybody's going to say Aaron Donald, and
Right.
they'll have their favorite for it. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to put my money on Bobby Wagner just because his impact doesn't stop when it comes to stopping the run. He's in the backfield on blitzes. He's the best passing he's the best coverage linebacker that I've seen play today, and his it just runs through the whole team. He's an incredible leader out there. He executed really well the game plan against the Vikings. He said that he knew a lot of their plays, and the Seahawks defense knew what they were going to do before they knew it before they did it. And so it really prepared the Seahawks to have their best game defensively, shutting down for the most part throughout the whole game Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, putting a lid on the Vikings running game with Dalvin Cook, and really flustering Kirk Cousins all night. They had 7 QB hits, but it all starts with Bobby Wagner. He's the centerpiece of that defense, and everything revolves around him. I can't find the words to describe how great Bobby Wagner is.
I totally agree with you, and I was going to ask you if you thought he should be Defensive Player of the Year, because from what I've seen in all the teams the 49ers have played, he might have made the biggest impact so far. Excuse me. And he doesn't get the press that Aaron Donald gets or Khalil Mack, and one of those guys is probably going to get Defensive Player of the Year. But man, Bobby Wagner has just been awesome. And when you like you, I think you said it pretty well, is just the versatility, what he can do against the run, his range as a tackler, his ability in coverage, he blitzes really well. So all those things together, he has a massive impact on all facets of the game.
And look, leverage or not, he can hurdle some linemen to block a field goal. I don't
Oh,
know
yeah.
what this leverage is. I don't know if it's a construct, if it's a real thing. But his impact doesn't even stop defensively on special teams. That's not the first time that he's blocked a field goal like that. And so yeah, I definitely think he should at the very least be in that conversation. I think he was the leader at some point last year before he got hurt and tried to play through it and just had a really bad game against the Rams up in Seattle, but the whole defense had a bad game against the Rams in Seattle last year. And so this year he's just been absolutely a steady force for the Seahawks, just the model for consistency, a leader out there. I wouldn't say that he has those super duper explosive games like an Aaron Donald or Khalil Mack, where you say, oh, that guy got three, four sacks in that game. Wow. But every week, 9, 10 tackles, couple passes defended. I think against the 49ers, that's the most explosive we've ever seen him. He had a fumble recovery, pick six, a sack or two. And so I think when you're looking at Bobby Wagner, I think you said it, I said it. It's a guy who can do it all and who can do it all at the highest level.
I completely agree with that, and that's he probably deserves more credit around the league, which is strange because the Seahawks have had so many guys that have had credit, and to see what that defense can do without Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas, and he's still the guy left, and the way that the Seahawks are finishing the season, I think that's really all you need to know.
Yeah, definitely. And we've talked about me and Spike that the Seahawks defense has obviously taken a step back. They looked, incredibly competent to start the year, but offensive, sorry, started to figure out the Seahawks defense and started to gash them a little bit. But they had a really, really great game against the Vikings, and they are actually all the way up to 15th in defensive DVOA. Which is, I mean, top half of the league, that's not bad for losing so many all-pro players, so many Pro Bowl players. And I think, we can stop saying that, for a team that's lost as many players, they're doing pretty good. But they're just doing pretty good for, an NFL team. And I'm really happy
Right.
with the way that
Right.
they've turned the corner.
Grant Goldberg of Locked On Seahawks, Brian Peacock, Locked On 49ers with you on this Wednesday crossover show. If your company is looking for a new way to reach customers, your company should be mentioned right here. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors they hear on their favorite podcasts. Our demographic is 98% males with more education and earning more than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast? You can email me at lockedon49ers@gmail.com. Grant, where can potential sponsors find you?
I believe it's lockedoncx@gmail.com. So, take advantage of that.
Absolutely. More with Grant on this Locked On Wednesday crossover after this.
All right, and we are at the final portion of today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks, Locked On 49ers crossover. Crossover Wednesday is always so much fun, and for me, this is my favorite part, and it's the prediction portion of the show. And I always enjoy it because as podcast hosts, we obviously love our team. We wouldn't be talking about them every day if we didn't love our team, but we try to be as objective as possible and really give a good prediction. And so, Brian, the Seahawks come to town. They go to Levi's Stadium to play the 49ers. It's a 1:05 p.m. game. What are you thinking for the score of that NFC West matchup?
It's been rough for the 49ers, obviously, and at this point, it's really hard to pick victories. And it's the same thing I said to Cody Rourke last week when we did the Locked On Broncos crossover episode. And I was completely wrong because the 49ers came out and they were good on both sides of the ball and really dominated the Broncos wire to wire. And so I was surprised by that. And it's a reminder that anything can happen in this league. You think a team is really great and they just have a bad season or a bad week here or there. Any team in the NFL can beat any team in the NFL week to week. So you always have to remember that. That being said, I wanted to come out here and say something like, well, it's going to be in Levi's Stadium this time instead of Nick, so we're going to flip the score and it's going to be 49ers 43 and Seahawks 16. But I can't say that at this point. I think the Seahawks are playing too well, and right now the Seahawks have the 49ers number still through a new bunch of players, a new coaching staff, and a new front office, and the Seahawks still have that. I like their chances better. I think it's going to be a closer game this time, being at home for the 49ers. But I've got something like 20, maybe 31-27 Seahawks.
Yeah, I think the Seahawks do end up winning this game, and the thing is, I do think it's going to be close. I think there's still a good amount of separation between these two teams. The 49ers obviously looked a lot better against the Broncos on Sunday, but I think last night's game, or at, sorry, we're recording this for Wednesday, Monday night's game. I think it was the Seahawks' statement win of the year, and I think that's something to build off of as a team. I don't think that they're going to steamroll the 49ers like they did last time, but I do think it's going to be a closer game. Probably, I'll say 28 to 20. I'll give the Seahawks, and I think they're going to be up for most of the game, but the 49ers will find those opportunities late in the game to kind of make it closer than the Seahawks want and make them sweat it out.
Yeah, I think I might have even given too many points. I'm sure my score would be on the over, so I'd be taking the over on that, which might not be the best bet with these two teams right now. Might be one of those games that you should definitely take the under on, so I could probably be way off with that point total. But I think it can be with. I think the 49ers can play within one score with just about anybody in the league. But the problem is it's been really difficult for them aside from last week and against the Raiders earlier. And obviously the third win, which was when Garoppolo was still around, against the Lions, it's really hard for them to win those close games. And so I don't see the 49ers doing that, but I like them to play a better game, especially away from the clink. I think that's going to be important. And one thing I do want to say to you, Grant, before we end this episode is it's always great to talk to you, but what does your co-host Spike have against me?
Oh no, he's at grad school right now, so he's in the middle of final season. So
oh my god,
that's priority number one for Spike. No, he always loves to drop the Michael Dixon takes. He likes to drop the just plain old hot takes. And so now we definitely miss Spike when we do these recordings, and that's why we'll have to set something up for the off season or something for the draft, just so we can get you two on a pod. Because yeah, I think it looks worse than it really is, but yeah, he's preoccupied with grad school, and I'll have to talk to him about it. Maybe I can be completely off. Maybe he does have something against you, but as far as I know, it's grad school, and he would like to be on these shows.
Okay, well, good luck to him. That's definitely some very important real life stuff, though. So I hope that's going well for him. And yeah, I do look forward to talking to you in the off season. And I think I might be able to have some more hot takes in the off season too. Once we have, when things get sort of refreshed and the 49ers add some pieces in the off season, I think the 49ers and 49ers fans can get a little bit more excited about things next year with Garoppolo coming back. But it's been a rough go, a long season, but it was nice to have that win last week. I think 49ers fans got super excited about it, and especially with the Raiders winning like immediately after that, 15 minutes later, and so the 49ers still were able to hold on to that first pick overall in the draft for a short time, and we'll see what happens in the last few weeks, and it might come down to a tiebreaker or a coin toss even. But it was a huge week for the 49ers. So 49ers fans are feeling good right now. So there might be some people excited and predicting a 49ers win out there. I just can't be one of them.
Yeah, and like I said, we gotta take everything into consideration. We gotta be objective, and there's a lot of moving parts. So I'm not gonna say it's hard to make a prediction for the game, but there's definitely some thought that just goes into it, rather than, all right, my team won last week, they're gonna keep it going.
And it's crazy what's going on with the Seahawks right now. The fact that they can win games with Russell Wilson completing 10 passes for 70 yards. He only completed 11 passes against the 49ers a couple of weeks ago. So they're not just a team that's all about Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner, even though that's where the headlines are. They're a pretty good football team, and they're playing really good football right now.
Yeah, thank you. I'll take all the credit for it. And they look a lot better than the start of the year, and that's with Earl Thomas missing. It's with Will Disley out. KJ Wright's been out for most of the year. Michael Kendricks had the 8-game suspension. He just hurt his knee, and so there's been a lot of up and down in Seattle. But it's incredible that they've been so steady. And I still can't believe that I'm saying this at this point of the season, but really kudos to Brian Schottenheimer for being a lot better than his reputation led on, and mm-hmm. and really flipping the script. He had a disappointing tenure at Georgia. He's had a really disappointing tenure everywhere he's been an offensive coordinator at, but they've really bought into the running game in Seattle, and they're making things worth it with the play action. And so I have to give it up to Brian Schottenheimer, which is unbelievable for me to say, and I think we should end the show right now before I say any other crazy things.
All right, that sounds good. Everybody, go tell your friends who are fans of the Seahawks to subscribe to Locked On Seahawks. That is Grant Goldberg of Locked On Seahawks. I am Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. Grant, where can the folks find you?
And you can find me on Twitter at Grant Goldberg. The show's Twitter, Locked On Seahawks, is at Locked Seahawks. And we appreciate you guys tuning in. If you know a 49ers fan, tell them to subscribe to the Locked On 49ers podcast. It's always great content. I think, out of every Locked On show, you guys know your stuff. There's a reason why you guys do so well, and it's because you care about the content you're putting out. So, I always appreciate getting to go back and forth with you, because it's always a conversation where I come out of it learning more.
Oh, you're too kind. Let's do this every week. Let's do this more often. I like that.
All right, man. I guess I have to keep it going with the compliments. So I'll think of something by the next time we talk again.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks again, Grant.
All right, see ya.
All right, man.